It's called Rosca, and it's a nearly perfect example of what can happen when people who might otherwise be on the sidelines take control, in this case, of saving and dispensing money. You see, Rosca is an acronym for Rotating Savings and Credit Association. Not very well known or very understood in the United States, but a fact of life in many countries. And Rosca systems are helping many immigrants get a foothold here. Valerie Vandepan is an investigative fellow for In These Times magazine. She's with us via Skype to talk about her reporting on the most popular financial system you've probably never heard of. Valerie, why do you describe Rosca that way?
Well, have you ever heard of it?
No.
Most people born and raised in the United States have not heard of it. But for immigrants coming to this country and their children, it is very much an integral part of their life.
In fact, your story for In These Times, you tell us there are more than 200 different words used around the globe to describe a Rosca.
Yes, there are. And what's funny is if you ask somebody if they participate in a Rosca, they'll tell you no. But then if you use the word that they use for it based on their country, they're like, oh, yes, of course I have one of those. It can be a tanda, consorcio, njangi. They all are different words to describe the same system.
All right. So tell us how the system works.
So for the sake of ease, let's say you and 10 of your friends get together and you decide to put into a pool $100 a month. And you're going to do this for 10 months. And then you decide on a list of who gets the money in what month. So then every month, everybody puts in $100, which equals $1,000 a month. And every month, a different person in the circle gets that full amount of money. So if you get the amount of money at the beginning, it's kind of like a loan. If you get the money at the end, it's like a savings. The point is that everybody is giving the same amount of money every month or every week, and then they are receiving, when it's their turn, that entire amount of money.
And generally, people know each other. This isn't just a group of strangers.
Absolutely. Everybody knows each other. The way this is able to work is that it is community support. So everybody in the circle knows one another. Oftentimes it's family members. Sometimes in the U.S. you have, you know, children joining the same Rosca their parents participated in. It's very much a social network, and that social network ensures that everybody participates. So the default, or the, you know, skipping out on your payment, that rarely, rarely, rarely happens ever, if ever, in some of these systems. I mean, they've been going on for generations, and people just don't skip out on their responsibility to the group. Really spectacular.
What does happen if someone bails and skips? Let's say they take the money and then they stop chipping in. What are the recourse the other members of the group have?
Well, it's social ostracization. But first, before they got to that point, they would call your mother or your father or your brother or your wife or your cousin. Somebody in your family or somebody close to you would get a phone call or be contacted, and then that person would be expected to kind of straighten you out to make sure you participated and fulfilled your responsibility.
So there's really no regulations, no contracts, but a lot of a sense of social pride and belonging in the group that keeps it together.
Yes, absolutely. And responsibility, you know, because you're not just doing this for yourself. You're helping everybody in the group. So and you're helping other people and yourself meet financial goals. So I've talked to people who use the program to pay for a new roof on their home, to pay for a new house, to buy a new car, to put their kids through college. And so everybody in the group has their own financial goal, but everybody is helping each other meet that goal. And it's fee-free, it's interest-free, there's no credit check, there's no paperwork. It's really just a social contract.
In fact, in your story on the Rosca system for In These Times, you feature a lecturer at the University of Michigan who has made this work to help him get a toehold in his life here in Michigan. Tell us about him.
So Nkem is a lecturer at the University of Michigan, and he's from Cameroon. You know, for him, and I think for many immigrants in the United States, it's kind of the same story. You come here and you're in this new system of, you know, banking and society that it's not the same as where they come from, whether they're from Africa or Latin America or Asia or the Middle East. We have the ways that Americans are kind of born into it. Like, it's pretty normal for American to get a checking account and a savings account when they're still in school and kind of grow up in this credit formal banking system. But for him and many immigrants, they don't have checking accounts in rural Africa back, especially mm-hmm. when he came. So for him and others I spoke with just like him, they come and they continue the practices of saving that they had in their native countries. And Rosca, again, is so ubiquitous globally that it's really natural for them to come here and join in with other people from the same country, like in his case, Cameroon, and keep saving money the same way that they had been where they're from.
I love the way you describe that in Nkem Kumba's group, that whoever's getting the money that month has a dinner. So you've got that nice ritual where everybody comes together, and I'm certain that must knit families together.
Absolutely. And children are growing up together. Cousins are knowing each other. It's a family and community experience. And it does really solidify and strengthen the social network. And it helps people feel accountable and responsible, not just for themselves, but for their entire community. And again, they're seeing and helping each other meet financial goals.
So I'm wondering, how would a rotating savings and credit association, or ROSCA, how might that branch out beyond the immigrant groups? Are there other groups of folks who might be listening to us here in Michigan talk that might be helped by setting up a ROSCA?
Well, I think anybody who has financial goals would be helped by this, especially, you know, because it does strengthen community. And I think, unfortunately for Americans, I think it's very rare mm-hmm. for them to participate in it, because I think as a culture, we have a lot of trust issues. We're very individually minded. We're not so minded towards strengthening groups. But I think if you can get past that, you can really benefit. So, for example, after reading the story, I know a woman who took the idea to her co-op, and the co-op people thought it was a great idea, so they formed their own ROSCA, and now they're contributing and taking money when it's their turn. So it's certainly possible. I know in cities like New York, where there's a high level of immigrants, it's really common to find these in workplaces. So every week on payday, or every other week on payday, people contribute to the pool, and when it's their turn, they take the money. So some Americans get introduced to the system that way within their workplace. Also, in a place like New York City, you have a situation where, because so many different immigrant groups are together and already familiar with the system, they all can agree upon it, even though it's a mixed group, as opposed to, like, everyone's from, you know, Mexico in this group, and everyone's from Brazil in this group, and
right.
everyone's from
So it's very, very equal. Everybody puts in the same amount every month. Everybody gets
yes.
their turn doing that. No membership fees, no regulations, no contracts. There seems to be, if Americans can get past that individualistic streak and get that sense of trusting a group, you could really make that fit into your life.
Yeah, and you know, it's difficult, I think, for Americans to save. We have 24/7 access to our money, whether it's in a savings account or a checking account. And our system is really geared towards spending. They give you a card and you can use it anywhere. You can use an ATM machine. You can use it to pay for things when you go out. And that makes it really, really difficult for people in our society to save money. And saving money is difficult for everybody anyway. But what's great about this system is that you can't spend it. Like, you put your $100 in, or it could be any amount. It could be as low, you know, $5 or $10, or it could be, you know, thousands of dollars a month. But you're taking that chunk of money and you're putting it into a pot that someone else then receives. So you don't have access to what you're saving either. It's in somebody else's house or car or roof or wherever. Somebody else has it. So, for example, if one of your family members comes to you and says, oh, I need to borrow $1,000, you can honestly say you don't have it. Because you don't. It's in somebody else's house or whatever they've been saving for. And then when it's your turn and you receive that money, then you can turn around and pay for what you need, whether it's your child's education or your car or whatever. So it really kind of prevents you from having that 24/7 access. And it really does encourage saving.
It's the alternative to traditional banking that you have never heard of, a ROSCA, a Rotating Savings and Credit Association. And you can read more about it. Valerie Vandepan wrote about it for In These Times magazine. She's a fellow with the Leonard C. Goodman Institute for Investigative Reporting at In These Times magazine. Very interesting concept. And I think you've given a lot of people some interesting insights into an alternative to banks. Thank you so much, Valerie.
Thank you for having me on.